It's time for JT the Brick.
Raiders defense is no joke. The offensive line is good. The Raider defensive line is better. We all agree on that, right? Mad Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins, those guys are train wreckers.
There's definitely a little tinkering going on. We'll see, you know, what sticks, and we'll put, you know, the best version of our defense out there, you know, at the beginning of the season, and hopefully it keeps improving.
But our freaking D-line is nasty. The D-line of the Raiders is nasty the way it used to be.
JT the Brick.
But this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going into L.A. like Russell Crowe in Gladiator going into Rome. Okay, this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going to be like the movie Gladiator, leading everyone into Los Angeles. And he ain't joking.
And now...
Don't worry about our quarterback, buddy. Worry about yours.
Here's JT the Brick.
Hope everybody's doing great, JT, here in Vegas. And we open it up to everybody. Everybody who can hear us everywhere throughout the Raider Nation and everybody else who's not a Raider fan. That's what we want, too. We want Raider fans. We want non-Raider fans. We want a big audience. We got a lot of proud partners here and sponsors. It only works if more people get involved. So thanks for listening as we keep rolling here. Mike Davis is going to join us momentarily, the head coach of our local Nighthawks, who are now in the playoffs. I'm excited about this. This is important. We're a playoff town, right? We're going to get more teams in the playoffs here. Golden Knights won the Cup. Raiders went to the playoffs. Aces going for a three-peat, and now our Nighthawks here. Yeah, I just said it when you talk about indoor football and what they're doing. Nice storyline here. So we'll talk to the coach and the GM coming up here momentarily, and we'll hear what you have to say on this. And I want to get people involved in good things, and this is a good guy who listens to the show. So the Nighthawks also have a fan appreciation night coming up here for their final game, which we want to help them push out. I love the arena, that arena where I emceed the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. And, you know, the arenas that we have here in town, we got great stadiums, arenas. Man, we're living good out here, man. Wherever you're listening, we are living good out here because we got some winning going on, and I'm excited about that. And Mike Davis, who can talk Raiders with me, and obviously his team and making the playoffs. And it's been a little bit here since we last talked to you, Coach, but congratulations on this playoff run as we get ready for Fan Appreciation Night. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I couldn't be better. The journey you were on this year, there's a lot of people to thank along the way from your staff and your players. Let's get to that and why you've had such a successful year so far.
I think it starts with the players that bought into what the staff has kind of put together. And, you know, we said it early on, this is a great locker room, and it means something to the guys. And, you know, obviously it's contributed to wins.
Jerome Johnson's a star. 100 yards rushing, 5 TDs last week, also threw for 2. The ground game has been a bigger factor this year than in the past. How did that come about with your philosophy in the offseason to really concentrate on this ground game, and we're seeing the benefits?
Well, I probably hired a good friend of mine that I played with and coached with to take over the offense, and I went back to defense. So surround yourself with better people.
Yeah, that's great. But, you know, a lot of people, when they see the sport for the first time or they've been following it for a long time, understand that a lot of the yardage is done in the air, and there's a lot of shootouts here. But also you need a solid offensive line and running game, especially to win these games that are upcoming playoff games where it could come down to less than one score.
No doubt. You know, our guys have been kind of focused in. Offense does a great job of that. And when we take care of the football, we can be pretty potent.
I'm thrilled about one player here that I knew about before he came to you. Mike Davis is our guest. Defensively, second in the league in sacks and interceptions, but Bryce Hampton, Vegas native who played at Centennial High School, leads the league with 8 picks. Tell me about that and his evolution and how he's taken his game to the next level.
You know, Bryce, actually, I got Bryce through another player of ours, Malik Huffman. And, you know, Bryce has kind of embraced the role, and he has a knack for the football. Obviously, he played both offense and defense in college at Adams State before transferring to Purdue to play DB. And the best part about him, JP, is he's still learning. Like, he's still wet behind the ears, and, but he's trying to take it and run with it.
Mike Davis is our guest. Nighthawks, they're going to the playoffs, but they have a fan appreciation night coming up here. And this is going to be a big deal. It'll take place this Saturday, July 20th. when the team takes on Tucson here. All fans in attendance will receive a poster featuring the 2024 Nighthawks team photo. And, Coach, we've talked about this. I know how much your fans mean to you. With everything that's going on in town, it's hard for fans to commit to do a lot, but you got some loyal, diehard fans that love your building, the players, and it's nice to see the fan base get bigger and better.
Yeah, you know, obviously, I think, you know, winning helps with anything. You know, and it's great. You know, when we pack the building here, it's electric. It's a great atmosphere. And you know, for people who haven't seen the game, you know, check it out. And it's worth every penny, let's just put it that way.
Our owner, Mr. Foley, when it comes to your team here with Foley Entertainment Group, can you share with us a little bit, because we know his passion for both teams and all the investments that he has, but his involvement now, you know, he wants to win with the Golden Knights and the Nighthawks. He cares about winning, and he'll do anything to enhance the roster and do whatever you need to get better. What's that relationship been like, Coach?
It's good. You know, I mean, I have a great relationship with him. He will text me after wins, mm-hmm, and things like that. And, you know, I think one of the last ones was, I think we were at halftime in one of the games, like, hey, better tight. I didn't even see my phone by the time of the game, but I think it was like better tighten them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we win, and he's like, yeah, I hope you know I was just kidding, and great win and stuff like that. But he's been fantastic for us and the group.
Fan appreciation night as our flagship here, 12:30, the game here, part of the Lotus broadcasting team, Saturday, July 20th, 5:30 p.m. Coach, a little bit of Raider news. I'm sure you've been seeing some of the media of Devontae Adams. He was just in the Netflix documentary, and there's a lot of national media who's just seeing this for the first time, thinking that Devontae might not be happy when it was last year where he wasn't happy. There was a coach firing. Jimmy Garoppolo ended up being benched. But a lot of people now are seeing the footage from last season. What do you think of that in general, where it's not something happening now, but people are just picking out the news they want, thinking Devontae could be on the trade block?
Well, I think that's the world we live in, mm-hmm, right? You give people a little bit of something that happened in the past, and they think it's still relevant. And, you know, I think Devontae is a pro and a pro's pro. I think his agent just came out and said there's absolutely no nothing, mm-hmm, that's truth to that and things like that. And you know, I think the Raiders are poised for a great season, especially with the additions they made on defense and the draft picks they made offensively. I think that they're sitting on a big number, and it should be fun to watch.
Wrapping up with Mike Davis, head coach of the Nighthawks. What do you think of this Brock Bowers? I love him because he reminds me of he just seems like a guy you can get him the ball behind the line of scrimmage. You could just throw some quick passes at the line of scrimmage. You could hand the ball off to him. He's a tight end. He's going to run routes, but very flexible player now for the Raiders to have to add to their weaponry.
Yeah, I think what Georgia used him to a T, and, mm-hmm, you know, I think the Raiders with him and Mayer and you know, you put Devontae and those receivers, like he's a matchup nightmare for most safeties, and you know, he should open up some single coverage for Devontae and the other guys. I mean, you got to love what, you know, to be able to have a creative mind and have weapons, especially if you're Aiden or Gardner, like, you know, you're licking your chops because you have weapons galore.
Yeah, Coach, I'll wrap it up with the Raiders on that point. Gardner or Aiden are not elite. Not saying they can't become elite, but they're not at the level of Mahomes and Burrow and some of these other quarterbacks. What's that like as a coach? Because you're focusing on your team, but a lot of people outside the building and in the media keep saying the same thing. The Raiders aren't going to win until they get an elite quarterback.
I mean, what was that stat? I think Gardner has better numbers than Trevor Lawrence,
yeah,
as of right now.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think, you know, you look at Aiden O'Connell, if he stays in school another year, he's probably one of the top three quarterbacks taken in this year's draft. But, you know, I think he's got all the tools. You know, I've actually seen him, you know, when it was hot a couple weeks ago, I saw him throwing and stuff in the building here just to get out of the heat. And, you know, the guy is a pro. He wants to work and you know, it's fun to watch, to see him working and putting his best foot forward.
Coach, finally, this game is really important because with a win and a San Diego loss, you could host a first-round playoff game, so it's an important fan appreciation night, but still necessary to take care of business even though you're in.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, obviously you want to win all your home games and to have fan appreciation and mm-hmm. have the building packed, and it should be electric, and we're looking forward to it.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate your time today. Good luck. Keep winning.
Not a problem. Thanks, AP.
You got it. Mike Davis joining us. Thrilled that we could have him on. From the Nighthawks, and we appreciate everybody who supports it here. They're part of our flagship properties here at Lotus Broadcasting. Good guy, and has the team doing well. Updates today, we're going to talk. We missed Vinny Bonsignore. The phone line wasn't working well. We got a couple of interviews coming up here. Amber Dixon will join us as we said goodbye to the Mirage today. The Mirage closed today. And Amber did a really nice TV show on the history of the Mirage with a great panel. So I wanted to get her in here, no doubt about that. And then we got another guest coming up. Oh, that was it. Yeah, we have one more guest the rest of the show. The game that we look back on was the championship game for the Raiders in 1976. That's my last game for honorable mentions. We'd like to hear from a caller or two on that game. But the problem is we have a lot of callers who aren't at that game. But a lot of callers that remember the history of the Raiders. So the Raiders win that game 24-7, finally get over the hump, downing the Steelers after losing straight AFC championship games to them. Now, why wasn't that in the top 10? I don't know. I think we said it was 24-7. It was kind of a blowout. I do have a blowout or two. You know, we put the 63-point game, and I'll go over some of the other honorable mentions along the way, some of the other games we picked up on. But if you were alive during 76, what did you think of that game and the importance? And I think the good topic is the focus of keeping Madden. Madden had to win that game. He had to win that game. And he was able to pull it off. I think that's really important. It's an historic moment. Historic moment in the history of the franchise. The other NFL news today, the big story is the Broncos went out and gave their big guard, oh my God, the largest guard contract of all time. Quinn Mensah's got 4 years extension from the Broncos. How much was this again? Adam Schefter reporting $45 million guaranteed. That's a big deal, man. Wow. I mean, this guy came out of Wisconsin Whitewater in the third round of the 2021 NFL draft, and now he's signed a four-year, $80 million extension with the Broncos, one of the highest-paid guards in the history of the league. $45 million guaranteed to keep him in Denver through the 2028 season. He joins Robert Hunt and Nelson as the third highest paid guards by annual salary due to this extension. And we're talking about a Division III player, now a top three player at his position. The amount of money that NFL players are getting now just because they're in the league and they're good because of the increased salary cap and the money that's coming in is remarkable to me. 76 AFC championship game. We'll get the recap from Raider 66 who joins us.
Hey, JT, how you doing today?
Doing great, buddy. What's happening?
Great. Oh, yeah, I know you're short on time with the
interview. No, I got time. Go ahead.
There's a lot of – this game probably could have been in the top ten. Mm-hmm. It didn't make mine, but I missed out on it. But let me give the fans, the new fans, the old guys know, a little perspective on what this game meant. The 76 AFC Championship game, the Raiders and Steelers had met each other in the previous two championship games, 74 and 75, the Steelers winning both of those and winning two straight Super Bowls. So they were going for a three-peat. We talk about Chiefs this year going for a three-peat. The Steelers were trying to do it then. Now, the Raiders had lost six AFC championship games from 1968 up and through 1975. So they had a lot of frustration. This game featured two of the top teams, the two top teams, in the league at the time. The Raiders in 74 and 75 were 23 and 5. The Steelers were 22-5-1. They were the tops. This was the battle of the behemoths. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders, when they finally got through and won the game, I don't know if you played that clip. Busy, but they interviewed John Madden in the locker room, and John sat there and he goes, "We're going to the Super Bowl." Mm-hmm. It was like it was a mirage and something that was unattainable. And he just sat there and he had this stunned look on his face like, it's actually something that can happen. We're going to the Super Bowl. And I'll never forget the comment. The tone of his voice was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. But it started at the beginning of that year, 1976. The Steelers and Raiders met each other in the opener. The Steelers had are two-time defending champs. They play the Raiders. And they have got like a 28-14 lead with about 5.5 minutes left to go in the game. The Raiders stage a furious comeback, including a fumble, a tip pass for an interception, mm-hmm. and a last-second field goal to win the game 31-28. The Steelers then open that season 1-4. They're 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
They win the next 9 games, including 5 shutouts. You know how many points they gave up the rest of in those 9 games? 28 points. Their defense was impenetrable. And the Raiders then come into the championship game and score 24 points on them, which was absolutely remarkable. But that game, that regular season game could have probably been in the top 10. The back and forth and the stakes that were there, but it was just amazing. But just the perspective, these two teams were at the top. The Raiders lost 2 heartbreakers in 2 previous years, and then they stopped the three-peat. And that's what I'm looking for this year, JT, to bring it around home. For the Raiders to stop that three-peat of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Great point. Yeah, that's a really good point. Raiders 66 gets it. This is kind of a topic for a lot of the veteran callers and listeners who are living back in the time. But we're hoping all the youngsters who are listening to the show, the younger fans of the Raiders, are enjoying our countdown to the top 10 games of all time. And we are at number 10. We are now inside. No more honorable mentions. We start off Monday at number 10. Tuesday, I'll be in Costa Mesa. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then we'll go from there. So we're going to have some big shows coming up here. We're really excited. We had the Bo Jackson game. I'm going to go through our honorable mentions before we wrap it up, some of those games. Antonio is in Modesto. He's listening on the Raiders mobile app. Go ahead.
I can't get enough of this mobile app now. I kept getting it. All day over here, JT. Hey, I went to Vegas a couple weeks ago, got to see the Caitlin Clark game, and I really got a kick out of the Aces. I seen Mark Davis on the hanging out and Shannon Sharpe the other side. Just really got a good vibe. It was a good time being up there in Vegas. Even in the heat, I loved it. I was 11-76. I remember the 76 season. I don't think I missed a snap. Well, even Barry Thompson was doing the Raider pregame show way back in the day. They would do it like a Saturday. You'd watch it on KRON TV way back. That game, to me, sticks in my mind, Warren Banks and catching a touchdown in the corner. But the only thing, and it's not, I don't want to end it on a bad note, is I really wish Rocky and Franco would have played in that game. Would it change? No, I think we win that game. You know that we played them each 2 AFC championship games in a row. But I really would have loved to see Franco and Rocky. And I think Franco was like a game-time decision. And, you know, Jack Tatum has made his comments about, and no disrespect on Franco, running out on the sideline a little bit. Maybe he didn't want to get hit that day. But if they get by us, they go to the neck, they go for a three-peat. But what a great game. I remember it. Those are the games I remember with my father when we just moved out of Oakland and moved to Dublin, California, mm-hmm. and watching those games in the front room in a little house in Dublin and watching those games. So I'm glad you're doing this for the younger guys, because some of the younger kids, they haven't even seen a playoff win yet. So I appreciate what you do, JT. You enjoy your show like always.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. As we we're looking at all these games, which is pretty amazing to me. I want everybody who's listening to understand we can't do the top 10 games of all time if we don't have our proud partners. And I want to thank Resorts World, because this is Heartbeat Weekend. Kevin Hart is in town, man. And he is arguably the biggest box office comedian in the world. Kevin Hart, Acting My Age. September 1st, live at Resorts World, the theater. Get your tickets first. That is today, Wednesday, July 17th at 10 a.m. through Thursday, July 18th, 10 p.m. Pacific. The pre-sale code is up there. RW for Resorts World, LV 2024. This is really important if you want to go see Kevin Hart, Acting My Age, September 1st. All you got to do is buy tickets using this code that we get through Resorts World, RWLV 2024. You could stay with them, have dinner and cocktails at all the great restaurants that we recommend here. Was at Wally's the other day, 8 Cigar Lounge, Carver Steakhouse. Their food court is incredible. I mean, it's magical what they do there. You know, I hang out at Doghouse Saloon. Well, we're going to move Thursday Night Football into Doghouse Saloon. So we got you covered. When people come to town or they're listening to me from out of town, I tell them Resorts World. That's where you go. Resorts World, because you can have an opportunity to get Kevin Hart tickets. The Heartbeat Weekend, Acting My Age, September 1st. That's Labor Day weekend. Only way you're going to get your tickets first is today and tomorrow. And the presale code is RWLV2024. Go buy tickets and laugh and have a good time. Kevin Hart live. I've never seen him. I'd love to go to this. We got Raiders training camp in the preseason. If you're out there, you're coming to Vegas. This is a headliner extraordinaire. 702-365-9200. Sawed-Off in San Diego on the mobile app. Hello.
Hey, JT, man. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. I'm on my way to San Diego. Going to San Diego. Yeah.
Hey,
I'm going to San Diego to golf.
Walked out of my house. It was like 69 degrees outside. I was like, man, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Well, wait a second. I'm not coming into any June gloom, am I? I thought May gray. Is the sun going to be out or is it going to be just a cloud?
The sun is out right now. It's probably like 82 degrees.
Mm.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, so I was giving you a call because I wanted to talk about Devontae. Now, you know, all of us grew up with our favorite teams. We all grew up watching, having our idols and watching them play. And, you know, I used to live next door. When I moved to San Diego 12 years ago, I lived right next door to the captain of the Chargers defense.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who that was. I just thought he was a rapper or something because I used to see nice cars coming all the time. And so anyways, he used to tell me all the time because we became good friends. He told me the Chargers, and he used to refer to them as his employer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was because he grew up a Patriots fan.
Who was this guy?
I can't tell you. I'm not going to throw his name out there, but he went to Buffalo for school, and he was from the East Coast, so he loved the Patriots.
Okay.
But the Chargers was his employer, and he was the captain of the defense. So that takes me back to Devontae. Devontae grew up a Raider fan. He's always wanted to play for his team. His buddy from college got drafted to that team, and I'm sure he wanted to come and reunite. He loves the Raiders, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he came, I mean, it was double goodness all at one time. Now, Carr's gone away, but he's playing for his childhood favorite team. And there's no better feeling than playing for your team. And anyways, I wanted to also tell you that I talked to Marcel Reeves just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, hey, when you talk to JT, tell him I want to be a guest. Tell him to get me on the show. I want to talk.
Absolutely. I love Marcel Reese. Marcel Reese did a lot for me.
I said, I'm going to tell JT, and I'm also going to throw that Raiders fan convention in San Diego out there. It's this weekend, JT. This weekend from 11 to 5, we're going to do it up. Have a great time.
Where is that? I should be there.
Right there. It's right there at Hotel Circle, right in the middle of Interstate 8 at the Handlery Hotel.
That's a great place for that. Yep, that's Saturday. Thanks for the call. Saturday, Bobby, I'll be at opening day at Del Mar Racetrack. It's so big. It's like a holiday in San Diego. That's one of the things I'm doing, and I'm excited to go there, so I'll be out in San Diego for it. Look at the weather difference. So hold on a second here. I know we got Amber Dixon coming up here in a moment. Let me grab my phone. Here it is. It's 108 right now in Vegas. 108. The high will be 109. In San Diego, it's 76. Right? So I like better. I like warmer weather, but not in July. So I will escape the weather and get some good weather. But, again, the weather looks good. And what are we going to get here? What are we going to get here in Vegas here over the next couple of days? I hate doing this type of radio. I apologize. As I'm looking at my phone. But here we go. All right, I got ready for this, Bobby. 109, 106, 108, 109, 108, 108, 106, 106, 106, 106.
That's actually an improvement because everything I saw was like a buck 10 and over.
Yeah, well, remember, you move to Summerlin. It's 5 degrees cooler and 20 years newer. Who made that comment?
Oh,
my
yes,
buddy
yes,
Brady.
I know.
When I moved here, I didn't know. I was living in Sherman Oaks, sold the house. I got my get out of jail free card from Fox. How cool was that? It was a literal get out of jail free card. I didn't want to live my whole life in L.A., man. I didn't want to live my whole life, have my kids brought up in L.A. Well, I like L.A. a lot. Well, I'm not going to live there the rest of my life. So we came here, no state taxes. And Brady told me, at Las Vegas Golfer. He goes, you move to Summerlin. It's 5 degrees cooler and 20 years newer. But now there's some new, you know, Esperanza, there's some new spots, new enclaves in Henderson that are newer now, which is good. It's a great place to live here. As long as you're not here June, July, and August. It's a great place to be if you can get out of here in July. If you can get out of here in July, not everybody can. A lot of people work hard, a lot harder than me. I know how hard you're working out there. We salute you. For those who work in this heat, we salute you. And thank you for listening. Hey, we're going to say goodbye to the Mirage. What a great resort property here. It closes today. Amber Dixon next.
AC to Plum, another line drive jumper. Plum is way off tonight. She's rushing the shot, and that barely grazed any iron. Here comes Chicago transition. Over to Harrison. Harrison, jumper over Clark. Back iron, no good. Asia taps it around into the hands of Gray. Chelsea's got it. Trying to make something happen. Gives it to Plum. KP, Jackie. Inside to Asia. What a dish! Dime time by Jackie Young, and the Aces have cut the lead to 1. 75-74. Timeout on the floor.
TC on the call. Aces Radio Network. Back-to-back champs going for a three-peat. We have a big audience all over the globe on Raider Nation Radio on the Raiders mobile app. And we are brought to you by our great friends over at M Resort Spahn Casino. Great to reconnect with Amber Dixon, who has a fabulous show, Nevada Week on Vegas PBS, which I just watched. I have it on my DVR. And I watched her show about the Mirage closing with the panel, and I reached out to her to have her on. Amber, I hope you're having a great summer. How are you?
Yeah, it's a hot summer. I'm so happy to hear, though, that you watch my show. Thank you for doing that.
Well, you know, and I do watch it, and I know what you want everybody to do is what I want everybody to do is DVR it. Put it up there. So now I look on my YouTube TV, and you come up with that, and I always take a look at it. And I was really interested in the panel on the Mirage because you had Johnny Katz and a couple other guests there going through the history of it. And I thought it was really important on a day that it closed to have you on as you hosted the show. And what was your takeaway about the history of that fine resort property?
You know, that it was just so revolutionary. At the time, people thought Steve Wynn, who developed it, was kind of crazy. It was determined that he'd have to generate over $1 million a day. And at that time, that was unheard of to do that. And not only did he do that, in just gaming alone, he exceeded that, but then also said, you know, he was making like $800,000 a day in the restaurant and entertainment aspect. So he was the first to bring this luxury to the Las Vegas Strip, because prior it had been, you know, just kind of like gambling halls. There were buffets, okay, but the priority was gambling, and that was about it.
Yeah, that number was a big number at the time. And as you had the round table going, it was really unique because this was the beginning of the big, big Vegas show. There was other massive Vegas shows going back to the Rat Pack, but eventually to have Siegfried and Roy and Danny Gans, and this is before Beatles Love, and everything that they were doing in that fine property, it was unique the way Steve Wynn built it, because the maximizing of people's time and space with the elevators, making it in the Y, the pool and all that, the atrium where, you know, most properties can't have an atrium and put that much money into it because it takes away from gaming space. But Mr. Wynn knew how important that was as a give back to his customers that were coming.
Yeah, Josh Swissman was on our panel, and he's consulting in the gaming industry. And he said, you know, talking about the volcano, this was the first time that an attraction was right out on the Las Vegas Strip. So you are bringing people in directly from the Strip. He said this property was designed literally to suck people in. So you see the volcano, then you go inside and you wonder what else is going on. You see the atrium, you see the aquarium that's behind the check-in desk, you see the exotic animals, and you're in, you're stuck, and then hopefully you start gambling or visiting one of their many restaurants or seeing one of their shows.
Amber Dixon is our guest. The Mirage closed today. It's one of the most important casino resort corridor properties ever, and there's been a lot of growth since. And Amber, as you were talking about the Mirage and what's going to happen, we know it's going to be the Hard Rock and the Giant Guitar in the future. I think it was the birth of a different type of casino resort here in town, and Steve Wynn had a lot to do with the Bellagio, Wynn, and Encore. But what did the rest of the casino magnates think at the time that Steve Wynn was that bold to build a property like that?
Well, just kind of wait and see, and let's see if he can pull it off. Howard Stutz on my panel from the Nevada Independent, he remembers talking to Steve Wynn on the 20th anniversary of the Mirage, and Steve Wynn said something to the effect of, for all of those who thought I was going to fall on my butt, I forgive them. So he did something that was unthinkable at the time with that property.
Yeah, Amber, I think it's so important as we look back, and I watched your show. It brought back so many memories. And then the elephant in the room was the accident to Roy of Siegfried and Roy with the Tiger. When you look back at that, and Johnny Katz did a deep dive on it, about the people who were in the showroom that night and the horror of it, and it really changed that show forever because that show was on one hell of a run, and they were bringing in a lot of bank to that property.
Yeah, he talked about just how at a certain point in the show when that cat that ended up attacking Roy would come on, I mean, the entire audience would gasp. There would be a silence in the room because you took in the magnanimity of the moment and, oh my gosh, this cat has tremendous powers to hurt us all if it wanted to. And then there is that unique and kind of intriguing aspect of the story of that attack because I don't think Roy ever wanted to call it an attack. Going off of the idea that if that cat really wanted to hurt me, it would have done way worse than it did. I would have died, but that cat was trying to help me. And, you know, but there are varying viewpoints on what actually happened. But then that kind of entertainment, you know, it won't exist ever again, likely, because of the involvement of exotic animals and the Mirage also with the dolphins that it had and several that died while under its care. This just isn't going to come back.
No, it's not. Amber Dixon is our guest. You know, one other thing on that, which I look back on Danny Gans, I don't know if you saw him perform, but he was one of the greatest. He had the room in the palm of his hands. I don't think we've seen anybody like him since. We've had a lot of rock concerts in town, but the show was a big deal, Amber, when you went to the Mirage. I remember going with my parents and getting dressed up and going in and walking through that lobby with the aquarium behind the front desk and the atrium, as we talked about, and the high-end restaurants at that time. There were high-end restaurants in there, but you also felt like you were walking in to upper-end Vegas at the time. And now we have that with Resorts World and Fountain Blue and especially Wynn and Encore and the newer properties, but it all started after Steve Wynn took it to that level. Do you believe he deserves the ultimate credit for what he did to transform the Strip to where it is today?
I don't think I am an expert enough in that area to do that, but totally he changed the Strip forever. And then, you know, the Mirage is almost a victim of the genius of Steve Wynn.
And that good point.
You have to be the newest. You have to have the greatest restaurants. You have to have the greatest entertainment, the best DJs, best nightclubs. You got to constantly be evolving. And I think we've seen the Strip continue to do that as a result ever since. This chase to always be the biggest, best, and newest and brightest.
You know, last one on the Mirage. Does it feel like, you know, the Hard Rock coming there? I didn't realize how big that guitar is going to be, like the Stratosphere. Do you think that's going to work? Because I come from my DNA at the old Hard Rock, which is now Virgin, but the Seminole Hard Rock and what they're going to do to replace that, getting rid of the volcano. I'm optimistic that it's going to be great because it's going to be brand new. But you anchored this show, and I think you realize a lot of people are going to miss the Mirage and felt like maybe they just could have updated the Mirage and kept it that way, and now they're going in a different direction.
Yeah, I think it's going to work because after talking to Josh Swissman on the panel, he mentioned how Hard Rock International is just kind of elite in this area of gaming to a level that the other Strip properties are not. He talked about the level of operating expertise that Hard Rock International has, and so he thinks it's going to shake up things on the Strip, that it's their marketing prowess, their operating prowess, it's going to force the other Strip properties to bring up their game because they're operating at a level that, according to him, we don't experience on the Strip at this moment. And so ultimately the consumer, the tourist, us locals, we will be benefiting.
I'm looking forward to going back and seeing your interview with Bob Arum. I've interviewed Bob 50 times, and he's always been great to me. But, you know, the history of Bob Arum is a really deep history, and you have a lot of history with boxing in this town. How'd it go?
Certainly. So we made it into a two-part series, because how on earth do you condense his story into, what, 30 minutes?
Right.
I mean, we can't even do it justice then, but I kind of had forgotten about his entry into boxing, which was so unique in that he was working, you know, as like a tax attorney within the federal government, and it was Robert F. Kennedy who asked him, hey, you need to investigate this boxing match where we think that something's going on with the money. And so in his interviews of who was in charge of the match at the time, he learned everything he needed to know about boxing. And he had not grown up watching it, wasn't a fan of it, but learned the business side of it from the perspective of his attorney role in the federal government. It was kind of wild. But as a result of that, also, he said, you know, the mob knew my history. The mob was very involved in boxing when I got into it, but because they knew I had been involved in the government, they left me alone.
Amber, I think this platform is really good for you. I like your interview style, the guests that you're getting. How much do you love doing this, and how often do you do it?
Oh, I really love doing it, and I want you to come on, but I know you're getting close to the season and super busy, but we're going to have you on. You got to come in. We do that segment you're talking about with Bob Arum, Nevada Week in Person, on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. That's about a 15-minute segment, and then Nevada Week is a half-hour public affairs show, roundtables, discussing issues of the day. Every Thursday night at 7:30 is now when it debuts. So we're working every week with what's going on. So, for example, this week we have the NAACP convention in town at the same time that Unidos US is in town. So you've got these huge civil rights organizations both in Las Vegas at the same time, all hyped up about the election and just important things going on here.
Absolutely. You do a great job. I look forward to coming on with you. Let's do it again on the radio soon. All the best. Enjoy the rest of the summer.
Thank you, JT.
You got it. Amber Dixon, who I think she's very good. And this program that I watched the other night, I immediately when I watched it, and our friend Johnny Katz, our entertainment reporter's on it, and I texted Amber. I said, I want to get you on the day that the Mirage closed. And the Mirage closes today. And again, I'm not sitting here and I'm not, you know, all emotional about it, but I've been in Vegas a long time, full time, since 1996. And the Mirage was like nothing else. It was like nothing else. And now there's a lot of other places. I just walked in. You know, I'd spent a lot of time at Resorts World and some of our other partners. Last night I was at Virgin as they had CCON, and I was able to MC and a panel there. That was a lot of fun. But just something about the Mirage got to me in the last 24 to 48 hours. I wasn't a big Tropicana guy. I think the last time I was in the Tropicana ever was a Raider party. I think the Black Hole and Raider Nation was doing some events there, and I went to Tropicana, and I was more into Palms. When the Palms opened with the Maloofs, we were there on the red carpet the opening night. I met my wife at the Hard Rock, which is now Virgin. That's kind of my hangout. And you go around town here, and you're seeing some of these older casino resort properties coming down for something new. Why? Because if you don't have something new, people aren't going to come by and see it. Now, there are some exceptions to the rule. There are in the Flamingo. You go to the Flamingo pool is really cool. It's old, right? Bally's has had a little bit of work done on it. What's it now? The Horseshoe, as they change that up. And then you go downtown, and downtown's evolving because of what Derek Stevens has done with Circa. And the D deserves a lot of credit for what he was able to do with Tony Shea and turning around downtown and was just there downtown. Mandalay Bay, I remember when that opened up, being their opening weekend and all the fights that we covered there along the way. But every time that you think of something new in Vegas, it happens very quickly. You know, they talk about it, and the next thing you know, okay, we're going to implode it, and then we're going to have a baseball stadium or this or that. It happens very quickly around here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the baseball stadium because that is nowhere near a done deal. Nowhere near, as you know that, but we'll wait for some newsmaker to break that news on that. That is not something I want to talk about on the flagship of the Raiders, but every time I wake up every day and I drive down to the Strip, and I get a chance, and I'm down at the Strip at least once a week. I'm in amazement, man. And every Monday night now, I do my show from Wynn, and when I park the car, you know, Bobby, I'm proud of that Wynn parking pass they gave me. That's I don't know how long it's going to last, but I have a Wynn parking pass, which is good and bad. Good and bad in a way, because my kids want my Wynn parking pass. It's for Dad, but walked through the Wynn the other night. Oh, my God, with the NBA Summer League there and how many people that are there. And then pop on over at a fashion show and saw my buddy Todd at Emmett's, which is walking distance there. Going to go to this new restaurant tonight, Social Station, that my buddy Todd Parmalee and our crew, Chef Steve, are involved with in Henderson. So I'm going to do that. Tonight, I got a pretty cool night. I'm going to be at the Raider headquarters to conduct a Chalk Talk with Kirk Morrison, former Raider linebacker who's got a nice media career going on. So we'll do a panel discussion for about, you know, 45 minutes, 40 minutes with some of the VIPs that are going to be there, proud partners. So that's what I'll do tonight. And then tomorrow I'm on a flight to San Diego as the wife and kids stay back and do their thing. And I'm getting a boys' trip in. Bobby, you don't have to negotiate boys' trips when you get married. Wife goes on trips. Husband goes on trips. Only way to keep in touch with your friends is to see your friends. So I'll see a bunch of them this weekend and hit some golf balls around. Some good tracks there in San Diego. We'll wrap up the show on the other side.
And here comes George Blanda onto the field. The 16-yard line, LaMonica was spotted. He waits. It's snapped. It's spotted. It's kicked. It is. Good! George Blanda has kicked the Oakland Raiders into a three-point lead. 4 seconds remain to go. And this man may tie the San Francisco Bay Area up into a knot from which it may never extricate itself again.
The George Blanda Miracle Games. Part of our summer series, countdown to the top 10 Raider games of all time, and we are at number 10. We had 14 honorable mentions. That took a lot of time, 2 weeks of going through games that didn't make the top 10, and we appreciate your feedback. You can get all the games at lvsportsnetwork.com. Q's coming up next. Q always has a big show for you. Check out Q for the next 3 hours. That was the George Blanda Miracle Games. We did the Bo Jackson game up at Seattle against Brian Bosworth. That made our honorable mention. The AFC Divisional Playoffs versus the Patriots. The Sugar Bear Hamilton roughing the passer call against Snake Stabler. We had the Holy Roller game, September 10th, 1978. Stabler to Casper. The Casper fumble recovery as the ball kicked forward. That was a big one. September 15th, 2002 versus Pittsburgh. The modern Raiders, or at least as close as we could get. I mean, modern Raiders 20 years ago, where Gannon had the big game. Again, this was the year that, what a signing Rod Woodson was. The Rod Woodson interception, fumble recoveries. He was great in that game. November 11th, 2002, the Denver Monday Night Football game, where Gannon had the monster game to Rice, 2 to Porter. Rod Woodson had the pick six. That got the Raiders going again. They needed that. We had the Tim Brown 1,000 reception game. It was a bigger game than you thought. It was in December, December 2nd, 2002. Tim Brown went over 1,000 yards in that game. Jerry Rice had a big touchdown right after Brown went over 1,000 yards. We had September 11th, 2016. The Raiders rallied to beat the Saints. If you remember that game, 35-34, and how huge that game was, Derek Carr, and the importance of that opener and what it meant to beat the Saints. September 13th, 2020, the first ever win as the Las Vegas Raiders. Thought that was a big game to get in here. We had the Carroll Davis game. That was September 21st, 2020. Mrs. Davis lights the torch pregame. And Brett Musburger welcomed everybody to Allegiant Stadium other than the fans. Remember that one. Raider Week 15 against the Chargers last year, 63 points, made our honorable mention, and it should have. It was a very important game in Raider history, the all-time franchise record, to name a few. And then today, we have the AFC Championship game, December 26th, 1976. The Raiders finally beat the Steelers to advance on. I know there were other games that people said, well, what about this game, Gruden versus Kansas City? There were a lot of big games, lot of big games. This is our list. It's not the Raiders' list. We had a lot of fun putting it together, and now we get to the top 10, and we'll go from there, too. So we're looking forward to that, and that'll probably get some people thinking about what's going on next. Yes, Bobby?
You know, the one game I wanted to get in that we didn't get in was the Chandler Jones fumble interception recovery for the touchdown. I just remember between Harry Ruiz and Jason Horowitz, the calls were fantastic.
Well, let's get that. We don't have to play that as the game, and it was an important game, but there were so many more important games for the Raiders, many more important games than that. But I think that play, the Chandler Jones interception, should live here on the flagship forever. And those are the type of sound bites we need to keep around here, Bobby, in our file, because I want to hear that. I want to hear all that sound. I love that. And we'll do more of that next week as we're excited about that. The Open Championship. Tiger Woods making some news the other day because Colin Montgomery thinks he should retire. And Tiger kind of came back to him with this really quippy, quick response on that. We'll get that to you in a second. This is Tiger Woods talking about the Open Championship. And, you know, I think he's going to, we'll play that. We'll play that another day. All right. That's it, I guess. Q's coming up next. Thanks to all of our guests today, including Mike Davis, the head coach of the Nighthawks, and Amber Dixon, who joined us. I'll be back on Monday, and we'll get to everybody here on Monday and then Tuesday live from Costa Mesa for the rest of the week. Going to be with the Raiders tonight at a private event. Looking forward to that with Kirk Morrison. And then off to San Diego to cool off for a little bit. Have a great rest of the week, everybody. Always appreciate you listening. Check us out at lvsportsnetwork.com if you miss any portion of the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.